Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church on this rainy day. Looks like we're going to have that for the whole day, so I guess we might as well just smile and keep on going, huh? I'd like to welcome any first-time visitors that we might have today. Glad you could be with us. Do we have any announcements this morning?
We do. We got a couple of things. The ladies night out is the 25th, Friday night, 6 p.m. They're going to the creek down the road here, a little way. And then the men's breakfast is next Saturday. Men's breakfast next Saturday morning at 7. Love for everybody to come out. We have a good time, fellowship, and devotion. So we'd love for you to come.
And if you attend the ladies' dinner on the 25th, if you'll bring some extra pocket change, because we are going to pay for the dinner of anyone whose birthday we might have there with us that night. So, for the month of January. So just remember that. Any other announcements?
We had a great time yesterday. We had a vision conference yesterday, and a lot of you all were there. And it was just a wonderful time. We had folks that said at the conclusion of it that they had no idea how much ministry was going on in this church. And they were just pleased to find out what was going on here. And, you know, we realized that that's really an issue, is that we need to do a better job of publicizing what's going on in our church and making it known so people know what's available to get involved in men's ministries. And there is a lot going on, and we're going to attempt to do that this year, to make you aware of all those ministries. And it's going to be, I think, exciting moving forward. We talked about ideas for new ministry. We gathered individuals who would be willing to serve on our evangelism and missions committee. And new ideas for evangelism, and so we're excited about that. So just a lot of good things came out of yesterday's meeting, and we'll try to share a lot of that with you in the coming weeks and months. So.
Okay. If there are no other announcements, let's pause for a moment of silence to prepare our hearts and our minds for worshiping the Lord as we light our candles. Do we have any prayer concerns or any praise reports this morning? Mike?
Bella, thank you for the prelude. The prelude was, I hear thy welcome voice. I heard his voice in your music. It was so sweet and so good. And I needed that to soothe my soul this morning.
Praise God.
Thank you so much.
I was planning thinking, does anybody hear anything I'm playing? Because it was pretty loud. God bless
you. No, I was glued to what you were playing. It was appropriate.
You heard his voice
and
his morning.
Oh.
Any other prayer?
Melanie shared in the first service that it's been 2 years since, I think she said, since she had had her last treatment. And so this is like the 2-year anniversary. And the doctors had always told her that if nothing reoccurred within that 2-year span, that the probability of it never reoccurring increases dramatically. So it was a praise this morning.
Praise God.
Yeah. And then Diana Stout shared that Donna, I think, Bondanza, her mother passed away up in New York, and so they're traveling. She's up there, and I think all the family's up there right now.
Please keep that family. Her mother was a strong woman. Any other questions?
I have one for Chuck's brother. I spoke with him Saturday night on this morning on occasion for almost 2 hours, and he's been 6 months clean, sober living, and working his path towards the Lord, and I just want to continue to pray that he continues that route and finds his way in life. He's a 24 kid, ridiculously brilliant, just did some really horrible things from early age and stuff, so I'm glad that he's doing a whole lot better than.
That's definitely good.
I have a praise. Okay. Tyler's uncle, who's been in Afghanistan for the past year and a half, he came home this week. So we're very happy about that.
Wonderful news.
I got a prayer of praise just yesterday. It was really eye-opening for all of what this church does. It is great. This church does so many ministry works, and honestly, I was aware of some of them, and I'm like, wow, I want to be a part of a church like this, so I will be joining this church. Can't join today because I'm going to be doing the offering here. But I'll join next week. So that's what I want to do. And I just am so proud to be a part of such a wonderful congregation, such a wonderful Christian church, and people who love and believe in the ministry of our Lord.
You want it?
Okay.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you today to worship you. Our hearts are laid before you, and Lord, we come oftentimes with the heaviness of the week or of particular situations, maybe even things that are just now on our plate. But Lord, we lay it all before you because you are our God who cares for us. And you call for us to cast every care upon you, to put our faith and our trust completely in you. And we thank you, Lord, that you do care for us. So as we hear these prayer requests this morning, as we hear these praises, Lord, we give you praise. We praise and celebrate together with those who offer praises. And Father God, for those who are lifting up loved ones, and for all those that are on our prayer list, we ask, Lord God, that your hand would continue to lead and guide them into your goodness, into the life that is found so abundant and so wonderful in Christ Jesus. Lead them into your mercy, Father. Let them experience your grace, and Lord, let your healing power be upon them. Sustain those who have lost loved ones, and uphold them by your mighty power. Lord, for all these things, we give you praise and glory. We ask, Lord God, that you would give entrance to your word today. Let your word come before us in truth. And Father, we give you praise for all these things. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Now help us to pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
If you please stand for a call to worship. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face.
My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek.
standing. We're going to sing page 108. I believe we'll be doing all verses here.
Come, Christians, join to sing. Alleluia. Alleluia, amen.
one more round.
Because he lives, I can praise tomorrow. Because he
be seated. Our call to confession is from Psalm 27:9. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. A prayer of confession is in silence. Amen.
Those of us who are weary and broken and maybe fighting some storms in our lives, this song for all of us. Please join us as we sing.
We have raised our hopes and our city's high. We have followed their dreams. And Holy One, take the measure of thank you.
giving our thanks to God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If our ushers would please come forward. Children's time with Miss Mary Jo. So children, if you want to come up front.
Okay. see all of you all this morning. Last Sunday we finished up our talk about the birth of Jesus. Well, I'm going to extend it this way. Except I have some words for it. I have a word for you. We're going to go back to having words again. The word for the day is
promise.
And this number is what? What's significant? And that's what? This year. Right. 2013. Some people call it 2013. You know. But we're going to talk about our promise. In 2013. Now, I know last Sunday was the first Sunday in the new year, but hey, we're still in the new year, so we're going to talk about promises. A lot of times at the first of the year, we make promises. And some people call those what?
New Year's resolutions.
New Year's resolutions. Very good, Tyler. And some of our... Can anybody name some New Year's resolutions we might make?
To be healthier.
Okay. Anybody else have one? How about to be nicer, to be kinder, to pick up our toys, to do our homework, to listen. There's all kinds of things that we can do, that we can say we're going to do. But we have to be faithful in that promise. Now I'm going to tell you a story about two people. One person's name was Simon. He was a very old man. And one woman's name was Anna. Well, Simon begged God, please let me see the face of Jesus before I die. And Joseph and Mary took baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. Simon happened to be there. Simon was overjoyed that he got to see the face of Jesus Christ. And he knew immediately that that's who he was. He was the Messiah. Well, Anna was a lady there at the temple. She went and worshipped and sang praises. And she overheard all of this and saw it. And she believed, and she said, this is the Christ child. This is Jesus Christ, our Messiah. So they were all very thankful because God had promised that he was going to see Jesus as our Savior. Luke 2:26 said it had been revealed to him by the Holy Scripture that he would not die before he had seen Jesus Christ the Lord. So Simon knew that God kept his promises. Anna knew that God kept his promises. They witnessed it. They praised God. And they were thankful. Now, I want you to remember that God keeps his promises. We have a new year before us. Remember that God is faithful to us in keeping his promises. And we should be faithful in keeping our promises. Even to us. Because remember, a promise is a promise. Okay? Ms. Burke, can you sing a song?
Standing on the promises. All right. Through eternal ages, let his graces be glorious. Scripture this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. If you would look with me in your Bibles, Mark chapter 10. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. When we think about the gift of sight, it's precious. And maybe we take it for granted every day. You know, just because we expect that when we open our eyes, we're going to be able to see. We behold God's beauty. And at times, we just stand in awe of the things that our eyes behold. But then there are those that we all know who struggle when it concerns, where it concerns sight. And, you know, Brother Bennett, you know, I lived with them for the first year upstairs in their house. And Brother Bennett can see a little in the peripheral, but nothing straight. He can't look at you and just see you. When he gets out, I mean, he can see things to the side, but he can't see like we do. And I worry about him a little bit because he'll get in that buggy or that scooter and hold up that stop sign and zoom, take off across the road. And he's doing it a lot by faith because he's just expecting people are going to see that sign and stop. And there were times when I would just get out there and sort of help him get across. And I've seen others do the same, just to sort of help him get across. And I know that it's a struggle for him. You know, Reverend Bennett's a wonderful artist. We've got one of his portraits hanging here in the church. And he can't do that anymore. He can't sit and look straight on at a canvas, being able to paint like he wants to. So it's a struggle for folks. And then you got Bartimaeus here, who apparently has always been blind. He's never seen the light of day. I mean, I just can't imagine what it'd be like to not see. But then I know also from testimony of those who have had blindness that the other senses are so heightened that they can actually, in a lot of ways, see with their hands. They can hear so well and know exactly at times where to go and where somebody is. And it's just amazing the kind of things that people are able to overcome. The limitations that we're able to overcome. But sight is so important. And I'm not just talking about the sight of our eyes, but the sight of our heart. The insight, the spiritual understanding. And I want to tell you today that while Bartimaeus was blind, and while it was a desire of his heart to be able to see, just like you and I see, he had insight. Mm-hmm. He had wonderful insight. When he found himself there on the roadside, a place where he probably went every day, because being blind, he probably was on the roadside waiting for folks just to come by and to give him some kind of gift.
sort of help him get by. There's no doubt, I mean, you know, it's not like today, it's not like people just drive by from 100 miles away all the time. Most everybody that comes through and comes by are people that come by quite often. And they know Bartimaeus. They expect him to be there. They expect that they're going to help him on an occasional basis or on a regular basis. And so there he is on the side of the road, and Jesus is leaving Jericho, and the scripture says a crowd was going with him. Now some of them were his disciples, but some of them may have been, there may have been a lot of disciples, even beyond the 12 that were going with him. But then others may have been townspeople, folks who knew Bartimaeus, folks who had seen him there many times. But nonetheless, here's a crowd that's following Jesus out of town, and they're talking. They're talking to Jesus, they're talking about Jesus. Some may be asking questions, some may be talking about things that he did. But Bartimaeus hears the name of Jesus and realizes that he's in the crowd. There's enough talk going on that he knows that Jesus is there. This Jesus that he's heard about, this Jesus that he knows is the Son of David. Now, for someone to refer to Jesus as the Son of David is very telling, because there are times, many other times, when folks who have been longing for the help that Jesus could give call him the Son of David. And that's significant because it is something that they would have said, particularly for the reason of revealing that they know he's the Messiah, that they believe he's the sent one. You know how it is. I mean, you know, Scripture says that the Jews didn't believe he was the Messiah, but the Jews were always looking for the Messiah, and I can assure you that people are so different in their beliefs, in their experience, that there were some people who did believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Peter wasn't the only one that had it revealed to him from heaven. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was the Messiah. That's the only reason why he would refer to it as the Son of David. So here he is, and he's there on the side of the road, and recognizing that Jesus is in the crowd, he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Scripture says he was crying out. And the people in the crowd that were following Jesus, "Shh, be quiet. Keep silent. You can't talk like that. You can't be bothering Jesus. He's important. He's got ministry to do. He's got people to help out there. Be quiet, Bartimaeus." Man. The scripture says they rebuked him. They weren't nice to him. They rebuked him for asking for help. For actually asking for Jesus to have mercy on him. They rebuked him. This is interesting because, in preparing for this vision conference, I went back and I was looking at church growth material and some that I have in my possession, but other things that were on the internet and that I could look at. And as I was rereading some of that and reading some fresh stuff, I was seeing in all those different places not only the things that promoted church growth, but those things that become hindrances of church growth. And everyone was in agreement that the greatest hindrance to church growth is negativity.
Amen.
A negative spirit will hinder church growth quicker than anything. They all agreed that negativity will quench a vision quicker than anything else. So it's something that we need to be aware of and that we need to understand. When these folks came and rebuked Bartimaeus, I mean, Bartimaeus is believing there may be mercy for me here from the anointed one, the one who's been sent from God. And there's a vision in his heart. There's an expectation that Jesus might be able to meet it. And the people who are following Jesus and all excited about who Jesus is were saying, "Shh, be quiet. Don't talk like that. We don't want to hear you that. Be quiet. Guess what Bartimaeus did? Scripture says he just cried out all the more. Maybe even in spite of it, that may have been the thing that fueled him. You know, most people don't do that. That's not really the way most people react in the world. Most of the time, that's the reason that negativity quenches a vision and quenches church growth so easily, because most people react negatively to negativity. Most people, when negative kind of things begin to flow throughout a church body, then they become down. And they become discouraged. But I encourage you today, don't be discouraged. Don't let the negativity of others quench your vision. Bartimaeus didn't let it happen. Bartimaeus wanted something from Jesus. And he got it. He just kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me! Son of David, have mercy on me!" And everybody's talking and they're cute, and they're all excited about Jesus, except for the ones who are trying to get Bartimaeus to shut up. And Jesus stops. And he says, "Somebody call him. Come on over here." And they said, "Bartimaeus, take heart. He's calling you. Get up and come on over here." Let me tell you right now that it wasn't the negative folks that told him to take heart. Okay?
Amen.
It may have been the disciples of Jesus that told him to take heart. It may have been that group that told him to get up and come over. And maybe even they took him by the hand and they led him to Jesus, because that was the issue. Had Jesus been alone, Bartimaeus would have known right where he was. He would have walked right over to him. But there was a crowd of people. And in that crowd, he had no idea which one was Jesus. So all he could do was cry out and hope that Jesus would recognize him. And he did. He recognized him. Jesus stopped and called him. And when they told him to come to Jesus, the scripture says he threw off his cloak and he got up and he came to Jesus. And he said, Jesus said to him first, "What do you want me to do for you?" Man, wouldn't you like to hear those words from Jesus right now?
Amen.
What do you want me to do for you right now? But Jesus knew exactly what was in Bartimaeus' heart. And he knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in our heart collectively. He knows that when we come to him in expectation, when we have the birth of a vision within us, and when our desire is to carry out his plan, carry out his ministry, to do his will, Jesus is always saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" This morning, we have been testifying to how great God is, to how good he is, to how he's always there. We've heard testimonies of how he's been with folks, even this morning. God, Jesus is always, well, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are always posing the question to us, "What do you want me to do for you?" We don't think like that is the problem. Sometimes our sight, our vision is limited, and we can't see just how much God loves us. We can't see just how much he cares for us. That picture that we had up on the screen a moment ago of Jesus embracing that person, holding them in that close embrace. Our God loves us. He cares for us. And he is posing the question to us, "What can I do for you?" He's not saying, what new car can I get for you? Or what new house can I get for you? And not that he's not concerned about those things, but I think in the context of the Scripture, he's looking at real need. He's looking at the things of our heart that we really need. For Bartimaeus, there was something that he'd been longing for all his life, and it was vision, it was sight. The insight that was so much more precious, he already possessed. He had the greatest thing that he could have, the knowledge that Jesus is the Messiah. He already possessed that. But this other thing he had longed for always, oh, that I could see. Oh, that I'd be able to walk down the road and see my feet, my each foot taking a step one in front of the other. To see the sky. Can you imagine people telling you it's blue and not knowing what color blue is? He had a vision. And God gave him the desire of his heart. What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him. Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said, well, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. It's already there within you. Everything you need, you've already got. You've already put your faith in me. You've already put your trust in me. Receive. He told him in his statement to Bartimaeus, he said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. In other words, Bartimaeus took that and that. Go home. Go find your family. Look upon them for the first time and enjoy them. The Scripture says that he was made whole immediately and he followed Jesus. Why? Because he knows that Jesus is the Messiah. He is his all in all. He's everything he's been searching for. So he just began to follow Jesus. We don't know how long he followed Jesus. I suspect that Bartimaeus may have possibly become a disciple. Bartimaeus very well may have been one of those disciples that was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Scripture says 120 were in that room. And he may have been one of those. He may have followed Jesus the rest of his life everywhere he went. Left everything else behind for the joy of a Savior, for the joy of knowing the Messiah, the one who is everything. When you've got Jesus, you've got it all. Sight is wonderful, but insight and the vision of a Savior and the vision of the ministry that can be accomplished on his behalf. Jesus asked the question this morning. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want him to do for you where it concerns your life? What do you want him to do for you where it concerns knowing God more? Where it concerns knowing Jesus? In a forward fashion. What do you want Jesus to do for you where it concerns knowing your inheritance? Having the wisdom of God, knowing the Word of God more fully, being able to stand on His promises as we just sang. What do you need Jesus to do for you today? Where is it that you're stopped from? Where is it that you've not been able to see things the way Jesus sees? Where's your need? Where are you unhappy enough to feel it? This morning, as we sing this closing hymn, I want you to think about that question. I want you to think about the answer to that question. Because the answer is found in our relationship with Christ. He is the giver of all life. That everything begins and will end in Him. We're going to experience the fullness of what that has for us. We're ever going to receive the vision that we really need to see. We're going to see what we need to see. It's time for us to believe that Jesus is standing here right now and asking that question, what can I do for you? And it's time for us to believe that you know what He said. Thank you.